mean to you? You know, will you treat him like you treat a friend, a family member, or just anybody? God forbid that. You know, how you treat God and his words may have a direct bearing on if you will receive from him or not. Do you not know that you're dealing with God, Almighty God, that's got everything in his hand? He is God. Before the world was, he was God. And we dare to think that he can't do. We dare to think that God is not able. We dare to think that our God somehow don't hear us. Oh my God, he hears us. He hears us all of the time. Every word that we utter is being written down. It's being recorded. So, think about it. You know, if something is holding up your prayers, if something is holding back what you need to think about, what am I thinking about God? What am I saying about God? You know, what is my thoughts toward God? Am I thinking that he can't do it? That he won't do it for some reason? Straighten up those evil thinking, and you might straighten up you might get your answer from God. You know, none of God's words are without power. All of God's word is filled with power. It's their anointed, their life, their health, their strength, and they are spirit. So if you look around in the natural to see God's word, you ain't gonna see it. It is spiritual, and you have to discern it through the spirit. We're going to look at 2 Timothy 2:9. Paul is speaking to Timothy about being a good soldier, you know, for Jesus Christ. And he's telling him in verses 1-8, I'm just going to paraphrase a little bit. Be strong in the grace of Christ. Commit to truth and faithful men. This is the same thing we're supposed to do. Endure hardness as a good soldier. You know, when you think life is beating you down, it may not be life beating you down. It may be God trying to get something into you. It may be all these hard things that's coming against you to see how well you can fight, how well you can use that spirit of faith that God has given us. This all-so powerful weapon that will knock down all the fiery darts of the enemy. It may be just God is trying to show you how to get to where you need to get to in life, how to be strong in the Lord. This is what Paul is telling Timothy. Be not entangled with the affairs of this life. See, we're too entangled with the affairs of this life so as to please God. We can't please God if we're thinking about the world. We're thinking just like the world. You know, he told us to be separate and touch not the unclean things of the world. You know, he told us to be not conformed to the things of the world and to the life of this world. But what are we doing? We're all wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in days of our lives. We're tangled up in Jerry Springer. We're all tangled up in Donald Trump. We're all tangled up in politics. We're all tangled up in the Hollywood set. And all these people that are on their road to hell, you know they're going. You know they're going there. I can't prejudge them. But with the lifestyle that they're using, it sure seems like that they're on a course straight to hell. The world, I know, I can say this, is on a course to hell. And anybody that's in with the world, they're going down with it. So this is what Paul is telling Timothy. Don't you be entangled with the affairs of this life so as to please God. He says, strive lawfully for the crown. You got to strive for the crown. We're not looking for earthly things here. We're looking for heavenly things. And God said, if we live like this good soldier and we do the things that he say, we're going to have a crown of life. It's going to be a crown. And what all you want on that crown, you got to make sure that you start working for it right now. Because the Bible say you have what you say. If you want diamonds and rubies, start saying it. I want diamonds and rubies on my crown. And then work for it. And God will give it to you. You know? It says, consider what I say. And he says, it is the truth. Remember, make Christ's resurrection a chief theme of the gospel. This is the same word we have to do today. We have to remember to make Christ's resurrection the chief theme of the gospel. Because how many know without him dying on the cross, being resurrected, and now seated on the right hand of the Father, we wouldn't even have a gospel. So this has to be our chief thing that we remember when we're teaching and preaching and we're doing all the things that we're supposed to do. We have to remember, first of all, we got to make Christ's resurrection the chief theme of the gospel. Without him, we would have nothing. And in verse 9, Paul says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bounds, but the word of God is not bound. Saints of God, you got to know that the word of God is not bound. You can't bind God's word. God's word is all power, and it cannot be bound. We might be bound. Satan might have us bound and in a stranglehold, but saints of God, God's word is not bound.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I'm preaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'm asking that you would read with me, beginning, if you will, at verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we shall commence reading at verse 4. This word charity is actually agape. It is love, but it is the highest reference to love. It is the God kind of love. And it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. When we look at this word today, I am inclined in my own spirit to ask you a question. And the question is, how deep is your love? How deep is your love. Part one, we dealt with the importance of love, and that was important for us to understand that verses 1-3 dealt with linguistic ability, it dealt with learning ability, and it dealt with laboring ability. And yet, in spite of all of those ability, the absence of love proved all of those things unprofitable. It was very clear that the importance of love must be both the root and foundation out of which you not only love, but you operate. And so as it relates to the Word of God, and we see that even if you are gifted in all of these different areas and arenas and do not have the agape love of God, then you will recognize that in the end you profit nothing. But now I want to move to the interpretation of love, because from verse 4-8, we see something a little different, because there are things in the Word that help us to interpret love in a different way, to help us understand as we grow in the grace of God and understand both experientially and pragmatically how God loves us with an everlasting love, with a pure love, with a true love, with a love that is far beyond the human comprehension outside of the Spirit of God. It helps us to interpret His love in many ways, especially as it relates to the believers. So notice here again what the Word says as we walk back through verse 4. First, it says that charity, again, that is agape love, suffereth long. It is patient love. It is what's called passive love. And by that, I don't want anyone to understand passive as in nothingness, but passiveness as in the sense of not being in a hurry. It suffers long. It bears. It believes. It hopes and endures all things, as the seventh verse joins with this fourth verse shows us, because one of the things that's real to every believer, they will recognize that with themselves alone, God has suffered long. You don't believe it? Let me ask you, how many of you are saved? Raise your hands if you're saved. All right, put them down. How many of you have sinned so many times since you've been saved you can't count them? If that's not suffering long with you, tell me what is. And so we miss the fact that God's love, that is long-suffering toward us, listen at this well now, should be a reality in us as it relates to that love being demonstrated to others. Isn't it amazing how we want God to suffer long with us, but we have short patience with other folk? I mean, sometimes just to mention a folk name sets us afire. And I'm not talking about with love, I'm talking about with heat. Makes us mad, get our blood boiling, hot all around the collar. Because we are not suffering long as demonstrated by the agape love. And so love passive is not in a hurry, does, listen, suffer long for us. And it bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. But then notice again, verse 4 reveals something else, that this divine love, this agape love, is filled with kindness and is kind. Now that's not just love passive, but that's love in action. Because I want you to see this, it never acts rashly. All right. It's not inconsistent. It's not puffed up, nor is it proud. It is the kind of love that shows and demonstrates to us how God wants us to be toward one another. Again, verse 4 reveals something else, because verse 4 is clear in that that same love is a love filled with generosity. Because when you look at the Word again and understand it, you're going to see that it envieth not. Envieth not. It's not a braggadocious, boasting kind of love. It doesn't you know, it's a love in competition is what it is. And as we move up, because it continues on in those other things, when it vaunted not itself, it's also a love that we must recognize. If it's real love, it does not have to boast on itself. Because all you got to do is show somebody real love and they'll do the boasting for you. They'll do the broadcasting for you. And so it's a love, but listen at this, that's in competition. It's not envious or jealous, but it's a love that wants to demonstrate that you can't love me better than I can love you. It's a loving competition. When you do one good thing, I'm like, what can I do better than this? Because I want, that was good. That was really good. I want to show you my love. That's why the old saints say, you can't beat God's giving. No matter how you, the more you give, the more he gives to you. Just keep on giving, because it's really true that you can't beat God's giving. And that's the same way it is in this competitive love with God. You can't demonstrate. John says, I love him because he first loved me. I didn't know what love was all about till he loved me. And so because he demonstrated, gave me an example of what real love and true love and pure love is all about, I started following the example. Listen, but I, in my best effort, could never ever love him as good and as well as he loved me, but at least I can try. You know, there are some people who won't even try. You know, when somebody says, I love you, and then you can come back and say, I love you more. Sometimes you're lying. It sounds good. But to love you more means that there must be a demonstration that's greater than what has been demonstrated. I wish I had a helper in the house. And then sometime when somebody say, I love you, the best thing you can say is, thank you. Thank you, sister. Sometimes that's all you can say because you don't have that same love. And true love is always a demonstrative love. It is always a love that is illustrated. It is never ever kept underneath the skin when it is possessed and professed. So when you look at this word and you see this, it is love in competition. But there's another word in there, because it's humility in this verse 4 also, because that's love in hiding. Now, you don't realize that love can hide. In other words, when it's real love, it's not a love that's put on parade. No airs. Works, does what it's supposed to do, then it retires. It doesn't go out there trying to say, hey, did y'all just see what I just did? I love the fact that it doesn't put on airs. It acts one way in front folk, and then behind closed doors, it acts another way. No airs. I mean, some Christians, you see the man in church, they're holding, then thou catch him in the mall. It's going down. Catch him. Yeah. I ain't got to go no further. You understand. Airs. What was all of that dancing and shouting and praising and holy hand lifting and all of that in church, and you won't even speak to me? What with all those airs? Listen again, because when we look at this word and recognize how we move from a love that gives to us the demonstration of operating both publicly and openly, but not doing so for our own glory, but for the glory of God. And the good that comes to us is by us demonstrating and expressing that in humility. Jesus said, freely you receive, so freely give. You've gotten love from me, and it was not a puffed up love. It was not a love on parade, though I had to publicly take a punishment that was meant for you and pay it with my life. I didn't do it to be seen. I did it so that you could be brought back into a restored relationship with God. He could have done his work behind the scenes and you never saw it. You never experienced it. You never knew it. But he had to show you how much he loved you so that you wouldn't have a problem showing him and others the kind of love he wants demonstrated out of you. Listen to this, because this love that is interpreted helps us to live life fuller, live life more richly, live life in a vein that God himself wants us as representatives of him to live. So when you look at this and interpret this way, it is so that you can put this into operation in every arena of your life, in every area that you love as relates to love in life. And this love, this agape love, should be at the center and core of what you call real love. You see, what most of us call love in the world is really no more than glorified lust.
That's what it is. Oh, yeah.
Because if we really loved, there are a whole lot of things we wouldn't do. If we really loved. If we really loved, there were things that we're not doing that we really would do. But when we talk about love, we're talking about the Greek word eros, which has to do with a romantic love, and we have to do most times with the flesh and the appetites of the flesh. And that kind of stuff is fleeting and failing, especially if it's not based on the foundation of agape love. If you love me, you'll do that. No, if you love me, you'll honor me the way Christ honors me. And says for me to honor me and you to honor you and you and me to honor you. Not for you to look upon me as the one and the source and the sum of the love that you want in a fleshly manner only. Listen, real love is deeper than skin. Man, you got a whole lot of folk that have spent a lot of money on balloons and flowers and dinners and gonna do a lot of that spending and all of that. But listen at this, the motive is for fleshly pleasures. Fleshly pleasures. Then you get mad if you give them something and they don't give you something. Or you get mad if they give you what you don't want. Fleshly lust, I mean love. Mm-hmm. Get mad. This all? This all I get? Huh? Oh, did you see what I gave you? Well, clearly you ain't put much thought in the gift you gave to me. All flesh. All flesh. Listen at this. Aren't you glad that God's love reaches deeper than the flesh? Tell folk all the time, you got to learn to love the way God wants you to love, because I tell you, the love is richer the deeper it goes. You are not wanting, and there ain't a thing in the world wrong with looking good. Not a thing in the world. Ain't a thing wrong in the world with smelling good. Ain't a thing wrong in the world with it. Ain't a thing wrong in the world with being the best that you can be. But listen at this. What you ought to want is someone to love more than that about you. Real love means getting to know the real person and knowing their imperfections, their weakness, their fractures, their failures, their faults. And when you get to know the real person, then say, I love you. Because we can love when it's easy, and we can love when it's good, and we can love when it's fleshly, but can we love when we've got to go through the tests, through the trials, through the tribulations? Can we love when it's beyond what we see in the natural eye? It's good to love a brick house. Ah, but can you still love them when they turn to a warehouse? Come on, brothers, you want some of these Coke bottles, but what happens when they become barrels?
You know what somebody with real love who knows the real person underneath all of that will say? It's just more. But when we are on the flesh level, on the skin level, what a horrible place to place your love. Because an accident could change the looks, could paralyze them, and they no longer look or operate the. Is the love still real and deep there? Sickness can come and do damaging things to that body. Is the love still real then? So many things can happen to that surface love. And I got news for you, my brothers and sisters. You don't want to be in the storm with surface love. You don't want to go through your darkest days with somebody with surface love. You don't want nobody to want you just for what you got or what they think you are or what you look like, because I got news for you. Trouble is coming. And trouble mostly resides underneath the skin. And so that's where the real love that God wants us to have, first for him and then extend it in a brotherly fashion and even in a romantic fashion, after it has been secured in his love. Let me move a little further, because as we move to verse 5, we see something else. Look at this word, because it talks about love doth not behave itself unseemly. It's talking about courtesy here, love in society. Now, what's that says? Love does not act out of order. It's always polite. At home, listen, and with all classes of people. Love in society. You know, when the love you have for your brothers and sisters does not extend to the man on the street, person on your job, people you meet and don't even know their names, if that love does not extend to them, listen, just as God is no respecter of persons, nor can we be.
That's right.
Just because his love is given to all doesn't mean we have a right to pick and choose who we will love. We must demonstrate in society the very love that we have been given. It has been given to us when we did not merit it, when we did not deserve it, when we did not own it, when we did not want it. He still gave it to us. And so in society, we ought to be reflective of that kind of love. There ought to be something about us that shows people in the world that we know how to be polite, that we know how to carry ourselves, that we know how to handle those who are of the upper echelon and those who are at the bottom of the barrel. Something's wrong if you got God's love and you turning your nose up at somebody who ain't got what you got. Someone who's not what you are, who's not where you are or where you are going. Something's wrong when you act like they are beneath you. And something is wrong when you judge a person not based on that character, but based on what they possess. Something's wrong with that. Because I got news for you. You can have stuff and still be nothing. And you can be something and still have nothing. Life has some tricky turns to it. And every now and then, we can be on the other side of the table. But thank God, it's like the world. It keeps on turning. And you need to be careful at how you look at folk and handle folk who may be down today. Because I got news for you. As sure as God sits on the throne and the world still revolves around his word, God has a way of picking those up on the bottom and putting them on the top. Be careful how you handle your brother or your sister who has fallen, been overtaken in a fault. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourselves. Now, see, we forget that part, considering yourselves. Because quiet as it's kept, you ain't perfect. Considering yourselves. quiet as it's kept, God ain't pulled the covers off your mess.